And we're going to read Genesis chapter 12. Just the first 9 verses of this chapter. So we hear again the Lord's word. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your seed I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still to the south. Genesis 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" And he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, 3-year-old female goat, 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he brought all these things to him, and cut them in 2 down the middle, and placed each one opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in 2. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age." So the comedian George Burns once said that tennis was a game for young people. And here's why. So up to the age of 25, you can play singles with ease. The strength and the invincibility of youth means that the game of singles tennis is no problem at all. From about 25 to 35, my advice to you would be to stick to doubles, he said. It's still quite a demanding game, but with two of you on your side of the court, you can cope. After the age of 35, you really begin to slow down and you really begin to feel the strain. And if you continue playing above 40, well, you begin to sweat just jogging out to the court. So tennis is a game for young people. I won't tell you my age, he said, but the last time I played, there were 28 people on the court, and that was just my side of the net. Tonight, I want to begin, as I said, a new series, a short occasional series, perhaps just once a month, as with our Peter Letters, when I hope to be able to look into God's Word and pick out some of the older men and women of our faith to help us and to encourage us ourselves to live out our faith in our older years. And not just to encourage us to be doing that, but also to challenge us and to stir us up. Far be it from me to let you sit and grow old in your armchairs without being stirred or challenged. We read those opening verses in chapter 12, the commissioning, the calling of the patriarch Abraham by the Lord. The Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Of course, those were words of a whole new vista of life that I'm sure Abraham had never even begun to imagine. So a short occasional series on faith in old age, or growing older in the faith, or perhaps how we should all look to tackle that challenge of growing older in faith. Now, God's Word, I would say, is an all-age book, an all-age message. It's for young and old and everyone in between, whatever age you find yourselves to be, and whatever age you might come to God's Word, this is a word and a message for each one. It was Jesus himself who said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. On that occasion, the Lord expressed a certain measure of displeasure against his disciples, because the multitudes were bringing little children to him that he might lay his hands on them and impart a blessing. And they thought that was not a good idea, but the Lord Jesus thought that it was a good idea, and he rebuked them for that. At the same time, Hebrews 11 tells us that the patriarch Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both of Joseph's sons and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. And the reason that he was leaning on the top of his staff when he worshipped is that he happened to be 147 years old. I can well understand why he would lean on the top of his staff. And in a sense, that's me. That's my desire. If I live to grow old, I want to be found worshipping God by every means possible, as long as is possible. And that might mean leaning on the top of my staff. I don't particularly want to be 147 years old. That's something, I don't even want to be 100 years old, but of course these things are not in my hands. Faith in old age, that's what we're interested in this evening, and how you should live out your later years. It's an important subject area, isn't it? Since all things being equal, We're all going to arrive at that point. Some of you might be looking at me and saying, I've already arrived at that point. I'm just being kind, all things being equal. We're going to get there in some measure, unless, of course, the Lord returns. But let's not use that as a cop-out. We're likely to face this situation. And faith is, well, we can ask the question, is it essentially, is it in reality, a young man's game, just like that a game of tennis, something that is best participated in, best experienced, and better pursued when in the strength of our youth? Or is faith in essence something altogether different, something which is in fact ageless? I mean, we can look beyond this life after all, to the time when we will be found in the presence of the Lord, and faith won't have vanished. It'll have just become a more extraordinary reality as we see the Lord face to face. But that faith in the Lord, that worship of God, is going to continue, isn't it? But it's the here and now that's of particular interest to us and pertinent to us. Genesis 12 and verse 4 from the passage that we read states, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, there's a little bit, I'm not certain myself there how old he was when the Lord first called him. There was, I understand, a little bit of a delay because he took his father with him, though he'd been told to get out from his country and his father's house. And there was that time in Haran there, so a little a delay there. But it is remarkable, isn't it? 75 years old when he set out in obedience to the Lord's call. And it raises quite a lot of really interesting thoughts when you begin to think about this. Perhaps questions, what was God doing calling this man at this age? How was it that Abraham came to respond so readily and all those things? Raises a lot of possibilities as well, doesn't it? When you apply this to ourselves, you may be heading up to 75, you may have passed 75, but what does this say to us? So all kinds of questions, thoughts and possibilities. Even the thought, as we look at this, that Abraham was comparatively young when he was called. If he died when he was 147, this means that at this point he's just about halfway through his life. That puts a different picture, view on things, doesn't it, when we look at it that way. But in reality, he was old. If you turn over into Hebrews, and I'm dropping all my papers on the floor. Well said. Hebrews 11 and verse 12, we read there, therefore from one man and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And that verse reminds us in a very simple way that when Isaac was born some 25 years later, the meaning of the verse, Abraham was as good as dead, it tells us. What is the verse saying to us? Well, it's surely telling us this, isn't it? That when he was called, when his son was born, he was no spring chicken. He was advanced in years. 100 years old means exactly what that means. He was 100 years old. And we know that the Lord may well have renewed his strength in some measure, but he was 100 years old. So on the one hand, we can say faith is maybe best experienced from youth. That's the advice of another old, wise counselor from the scriptures, one of the wisest, Solomon, who tells us to remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. It's better to come into that experience of faith, fellowship with God, as a young man, a young woman. That's good advice, sound advice. But we have to say that the Lord is no respecter of age. You are familiar with the Bible. I know And as you look through the Old Testament and the New Testament, as you look at the saints that we find there, you know, many of them, several of them, were well advanced in years with whom God had dealings. It's true that others were younger when the Lord called them and commissioned them and began to draw them to himself. But there are quite a number who were considerably advanced in years. And they help us a lot regarding practicalities of living out faith in our older years. And so we read these very familiar opening verses. I'm sure you've read Genesis 12 a lot of times. It's one of those seminal promises in the scripture that kind of everything else stands on the promises that were made to Abraham. And as we read these opening verses and Abraham's calling, I want to first of all point out Abraham was old. He was old, but not out. And so that's what we need to be thinking in terms of. So I think in today's context, the question of age matters and is relevant. I think statistically speaking, and this is constantly being brought up by the government in terms of paying people's pensions particularly, that older people are starting to outnumber younger people. There aren't as many younger people as there once were. We've got a falling population in that respect, and that would be true nationally. And in some parts of the country, we find that's true locally, you know, very much so. The folk who live round about are older rather than younger. I would have to say all of the churches of which I've been a part, whether I've been sitting in the pews or standing at the pulpit as I have glanced around, I would have to say that the predominant hair colour has been silver or white, and that's been for the past 30 odd, almost 40 years of my involvement with the faith. On the other hand, I have had occasion both to preach in and sit in some very much larger churches than the usual smaller churches that I'm more familiar with. And when I look around them, they seem to teem with young people, young couples, young families. There's very much a demarcation, but those churches also seem to me to be few and far between. I mean, the baton of faith needs to be passed on, doesn't it? And the young people are the ones that we want to pass it on to, in fact, that we look to pass it on to. We're calling a younger man to the ministry here in our own church. And that seems a very sensible move to make so that we can continue the work of the gospel, so that we can rebuild the church here in its vigour and begin to renew the work. And yet, at the same time, I think it would be a mistake, it would be wrong to fixate on youth as if young people are the church's hope, our hope. That would be a wrong conclusion to make. If you look at our passage, God first met this man Abraham when he was 75 years old. He really is the start of the story of the gospel, isn't he? This is where it really begins with his calling. Our young people are only hope? No, they're not. In fact, if you remember people like Rehoboam, in the Old Testament, when he began his reign after his father Solomon, he consulted his advisors. They were older men, not liking what they said. He turned to his younger men, and we remember how that turned out. The kingdom was torn in two. So it's wrong, isn't it, to fasten hope in that way on younger men. In fact, the psalmist admonishes and exhorts us, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. We have a lively hope. We have a real hope. And it's in God. It's in the Lord. It's not in the next generation. In fact, faith is the Lord's gift, isn't it, to whomever he wills to give it, young or old. Abraham was an old man when the Lord met him and called him and started the ball rolling, as it were. I would have to say that the Lord has made me smile over this past 2 years. Two years ago, I began the ministry of the pastorate here in the church. And I remember praying before that, because I knew that I was going to be pastor before I started being a pastor. And I remember praying both before that and during these 2 years, knowing the work that we have before us, that the Lord would send us an evangelist. Well, the Lord did send us someone who's very good at talking to all kinds of people, our dear brother Paul Bray. He wasn't the man that I had in mind, but is the man who the Lord sent at this particular time. So that made me smile when I thought about that. I also prayed before, and continue to pray, for people to be saved. And who should come in through the doors and come to salvation but our dear sister Ruth, who retired last year. So again, not exactly what I had in mind, but perhaps the Lord is speaking to me, because I needed to get a bit of perspective on this. Whom the Lord wills, he saves and uses and works with and works through. And Abraham was old, 75 years old, but not out. And that's important. Now, in a country where 11 million people are over 65, according to the last census in 2021, I think age has a new relevance, a distinct relevance, and one which we have to factor into our thinking in a more positive way. Old is not out, it's not the end of the road. David said, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken," in Psalm 37:25. His experience of the Lord was throughout his life. Indeed, as an old man, he continued to write these beautiful psalms, which help us so much and teach us so much and edify us so much. And his words are helpful for a number of reasons. They encourage us for a number of reasons as we think of being old but not out. Firstly, because the Lord doesn't discount or discard older saints. He calls older people for his own work and purpose. So he doesn't discount or discard older saints. We're encouraged, secondly, because many believers, including some of the great heroes of the faith, themselves experienced growing old in faith, and were faithful, and were useful. And so that's encouraging to us. And it's encouraging, thirdly, because a significant number of saints were older men and women, and it is specifically their age which forms part of the reason why we look up to them as the Lord's saints, for the way they lived and the way they conducted themselves and the way they responded to the Lord even in those older years. But it'd be very interesting for you to go home and have a think about people in the scripture, how old they were, and maybe make a list of some of the older ones, and perhaps you might be surprised at that. So at 17, David slew a giant. At 70, that's a bit harder, but it's not impossible. Old, but not out. This is what we see with Abraham here. A great example of this, of course, is Caleb. We're going to look at him at another time. But Caleb went chasing giants at 80. I would have to say that I'll give out the warning, don't do this at home. But Caleb did it at 80 years old. Clearly, old doesn't mean out. Abraham was old, and the Lord came to him and spoke to him and appeared to him and called him and used him. And so that's a good encouragement for us. And again, as we read these opening verses of the call of Abraham, the Lord met with Abraham. He was old, but of interest to God. And then that's important as well. And not to state the obvious, but old people are people too. I say that in context of our present age, which very easily discards and discounts older people. But old people are people too. And in terms of outreach and evangelism, that is particularly pertinent. Older people are people too. Like all men, they need best to be in a relationship with the Lord. And since it's pleased the Lord to keep them here into old age, they also need to hear the gospel. I think of a man, Dave Butcher, in the church, in my first pastorate. I used to visit his wife, who was a Christian, a dear old, lovely older saint. She'd married a man who wasn't a Christian, and she put up with the consequences of that throughout her life. And I used to visit. He would always sit in with us and listen, but it never had any effect on him, so it seemed. I was delighted to hear a few years after I left that he did, in fact, come to profess faith in the Lord just a couple of years before he died. How gracious is God. And so the Lord met with him in old age and brought him into the fold, just as the Lord met with Abraham, old but of interest to God. So age 75, God spoke to Abraham, and in verse 7 he also appeared to him. What an amazing privilege and condescension for any man, let alone a man of Abraham's years. Of course, it wasn't just a passing or a casual meeting of the Lord with this man. The Lord had a plan. He had a purpose. He had a people to call. He had a nation to build. And he was just getting to work here. And God sought out this old man, Abraham, at 75 years old. It was deliberate. And I think that his age is a wonderful foil to the grace and the power of God. God's grace and God's power shine out all the more brightly for the fact that Abraham was old. And you think about that, you'll see what I mean. And so it was that Abraham began to experience life apart, life differently from how the world does life and old age. This is about faith. It's about a supernatural experience. Supernaturally, the Lord meets with us. Supernaturally, he reveals himself to us. Supernaturally, he enters into a relationship with us. And supernatural in that context simply means beyond what is normal and natural. Beyond what is normal and natural, the Lord drew near and met with and had a keen interest in this old man, Abraham. This was his experience, as we read these verses here and in chapter 15 that we read. God does things differently, doesn't he? Abraham the aged was God's man. Abraham the aged was the one whom God was interested in. And so Abraham's taken into the Lord's care, taken into the Lord's purpose at a good age. And God blessed Abraham and gave him these great promises that we're familiar with in chapter 12. And then in chapter 15, we're familiar with that. The Lord made a covenant with him, and a genuine relationship is the basis of that covenant that God made. Not just a question of salvation. It wasn't just a question of the Lord saving Abraham or saving the Jews or saving mankind, not just for salvific purposes, nor for the Lord's purposes alone. No, the Lord's approach to Abraham is a little more than that. Isaiah 41 verse 8 says, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend." What amazing words for God to speak about a man, about any man. The Lord had a genuine interest in this man who was over 70 years old. He'd lived his 70 years and 10 and was by any man's measure toward the end of his life. It's a wonderful blessing that the Lord gave him another 70 years plus. And he lived to an even greater age. But the Lord had this interest in Abraham. And God himself articulates his relationship with him, saying that he was his friend. James corroborates that in the New Testament, that aspect of real friendship. James 2:23 tells us that Abraham believed God and was called the friend of God. Not by Abraham's friends, not by the Jews and others, but by God himself. So he was God's friend. So in other words, there's real, meaningful, divine interest in this old man. That should encourage us, shouldn't it? As you and I grow older in years, the Lord still is keenly interested in us as people, no matter how old we are. And so faith and friendship and a relationship with God is a supernatural experience. It is beyond normal and natural. It is better than our natural and worldly life experience. Psalm 63:3 declares, "Your loving kindness is better than life." You have to think about that. But Abraham is proof. The loving kindness of the Lord is better than life itself. And from Abraham, we learn that your age doesn't make a material difference. There's no hint in these commissioning passages, verses here, that age was a negative, something that counted against Abraham. And so our experience of God and faith works apart from how the world works. That's encouraging, isn't it? Because the world works in an altogether different way. It means that faith is not just a young person's game. It is an all-age game. And perhaps all of us need to look on growing older and old age through the eyes of faith more than perhaps we do. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their grey head. Do you do you think of yourselves being older in those terms? The splendour of old men is their grey head. That's especially true where faith in the Lord is involved. So silver hairs, old age, these are a blessing in the Lord's eyes. It is a good old age. And so it's good to think of these things. So old but not out, old but of interest to God, and old but preferred, not passed over. Abraham was chosen. It can be difficult, can't it, to know what to do or what to think as regards growing older and growing old. I've had people say to me, "Don't grow old, lovely." As if it's something that is best avoided at all costs. But one dear Christian lady would often say that growing old is simply the Lord's way of weaning us off this world. How do you see old age? It's important. Because those two comments, both of them are valid comments on growing older, but one is better than the other, isn't it? And we don't need to elaborate on the pros and cons of getting old. A classical biblical passage that touches on old age can be found in Ecclesiastes 12. If you read that, you can see it speaks of trembling hands, weak legs, missing teeth, dim eyes. It's not a very appealing picture. Many physical difficulties attend age. But a greater difficulty, I think, about growing old is your place in the world. your place in society, your place in the church. All of these things begin to perhaps come into question, and it really comes down to your usefulness as an older person, your purpose as an older person. Psalm 78:18 says, "Now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, do not forsake me." And the thought there is, Lord, don't leave me alone. Don't neglect me. Lord, please continue with me. And of course, we know that the Lord is not going to forsake us, that we're secure in him, even though we may feel ourselves to be infirm. And we know that he's not going to leave us. But will he lay us aside? Will he pass me over in useful gospel work? Will he move on to that younger generation and leave me by the by? Have I crossed a boundary? Have I become no more than a passenger among the Lord's people? Once useful, but now old and perhaps not so useful. Well, Abraham was preferred, not passed over. God chose him. But it's a real question, isn't it? Am I still useful to God? Am I still useful to the church, to the Lord's people? Am I now a burden, a problem, too old? Where do I stand? See, our society increasingly sees old age as a problem, doesn't it? It doesn't encourage a feeling of usefulness and confidence. And this is where a life of faith and a life in a relationship with the Lord is really quite affirming. You take a look at Abraham and many others in the scriptures here, and what you see is that the Lord has no issue with your age. In fact, the boot is really on the other foot. It's really a question of, are you still willing? Does faith in the Lord still make your heart burn, even though you have grown older? Do you still have that desire that is expressed by Isaiah? Lord, here am I, send me. See, God chose Abraham. A 70-odd-year-old man was his first preference. And Abraham responds in faith, doesn't he? In strong faith. The Lord chose him to birth a nation. Think about that. At 75 years old, the Lord picked him to build a nation from him. His response is Mary's response, isn't it, in the New Testament in Luke 1:38. Lord, may it be to me according to your word. Similarly, the Lord chose her to birth his son, to birth a new covenant, to birth a new nation. You can't help but notice the contrast, an old man and a young teen. But they shared a commission together. They were both the Lord's choice. He preferred each one. Preferred, but not passed over. I noticed in the scriptures that the Old Testament puts an age limit on Levites. They were only allowed to serve in the tabernacle up to the age of 50. And then they had to retire and hand over to younger men. I also noticed there's no New Testament equivalent of that that I've found. In fact, Joel 2:28, a passage of scripture that Peter quoted at Pentecost says, "Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." Prophetically speaking, what is the difference between a dream and a vision? You might say, well, technically, Andrew, but no, it's hard, I think, to get a cigarette paper between dreams and visions. There isn't any significant difference. And, you know, in this matter of age, old men, young men, it's all the same to God. He preferred Abraham and didn't pass him over. Why does the Bible mention Abraham's age at all here? Well, I'm sure it's to encourage us, but also to emphasize God's power. Faith doesn't do ageism. God doesn't do ageism. It's a tremendous encouragement to us, I think. that God chose him. He was old, but not out. He was old, but of interest to God. He was old, but actually preferred by the Lord. And this certainly tells us, doesn't it, that the Lord is not restricted by age-related barriers or problems. He is our God down to our grey hairs. And the Lord did exactly the opposite to what the world does. The world would have passed over Abraham and left him for someone younger. There were oodles of younger men and women and people and in between. And God could quite easily have passed him over. And so when you're growing older, when you've grown old, if you're asking the question, am I any value to the Lord? Am I any good? Am I any use to anybody, to God? That's not a faithful question. In fact, that's not a question that you should even be asking. Another verse in the scriptures tells us, your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. And that's our hope, isn't it, in the Lord. Words spoken by another old man, used by God. Moses, his blessing on the children of Israel. May God's word be a blessing on us.